Welcome to Suffolk Matters, where all of Suffolk County meets the men and women of Suffolk AME. News, opinions, and insights you won't hear anywhere else. Here's your host, the president of New York's largest independent union, Suffolk AME's Dan Levler.
Welcome to another edition of Suffolk Matters on Walk 97.5 and 94.3 The Shark, where Suffolk County meets the men and women of Suffolk AME. News and views you can't hear anywhere else.
So my guest this morning is Peter Abate, former assemblyman, 36 years on the job, chair of the Public Employees Committee, someone that's very familiar with labor issues, and getting things done inside of government. It's a different animal working in government, and so it's great to have you here and share your insight.
No, it's great to be back. I always enjoy the show, get an opportunity to talk to you, also visit with your members and out there and out here in Suffolk County. With an election coming up, it's so important that people know what's going on and making sure they get to the polls.
Sure. You know, and we had spoken a little earlier about the fact that, you know, when people move into a district, something that you've been saying for years, you know, when they move into a neighborhood, they ask about the, you know, what are the services like in the neighborhood? Not who's the assemblyman, who's the senator, who's, you know, whatever. Because at the end of the day, quality of life is really determined by working people, right? And those working in government. Yeah.
I've always used that as an issue. I tell people, you know, when someone's looking to move, like you said, into the community and they're meeting with their real estate agent, they don't go, but by the way, who represents this area in the assembly or senate? They want to know how the schools are, right. Healthcare, you know, and the other government services in the community.
Right.
And that's so important. And that's what your members do.
Yes.
They are the community.
Right. That's why we really have an exhaustive process inside of AME when we're looking at endorsements and we're trying to, you know, I mean, again, election day is 2 days away. You know, if you haven't voted early, don't forget, you got to hit the polls. Your voice needs to be heard. Get behind the issues that matter to you. Get behind the people that matter to you. But we have an exhaustive process when we look at candidates, especially on the local years, because those are the people that are going to determine working conditions for government employees and people in general. And, the quality of candidates that come in to do the job, their understanding of the issues determines how well government will provide those services to everyone.
Oh, it's so important. I was very impressed in watching the process go by this year, especially with AIM, how they process the candidates coming in to talk to them. It wasn't, you know, and I try to stress this, even though AIM is a labor organization, the questionnaires, the people asking questions were everyday questions that pertain to all of the families in Suffolk County. It wasn't just pension or health care for your workers. It was what they're going to do in the neighborhoods and the towns and villages in Suffolk County.
Right.
So it's, for our listeners and everyone, it's a broad perspective of everything going on in the community. These candidates were not just picked because they were labor candidates.
Right.
They were picked because they were people who cared about Suffolk.
Yeah, and listen, we've always felt that we had that responsibility. We knew we were going to make our endorsements public. And because we have a large organization, we had the ability to bring each candidate in, whether it was someone we endorsed or someone we ended up not endorsing, and interview all of them and make those decisions, because we had the ability to bring them in and have that conversation. We wanted to share those conversations with the world. We wanted to make sure the issues weren't just specific to us and our organization. It was about the quality of life of working people, right? And sometimes the quality of life of working people matters when they're not working and what's going on at home, and knowing that your government is there and taking care of things. You know, government's like a utility in a sense. You only think about it when it's not working. And so we want to make sure that government works, and we want to make sure it's working for everybody. So I want to get into, a couple of the endorsements we have here. And I just wanted to start with County Executive Candidate Romaine. He's someone who, you know, I mean, it's just in general, we've had the same County Executive for 12 years, right? This is now open. There are two candidates running, and there will be change one way or the other. And we had to go through what was going to be the best change and what was going to be the best change for everyone. And, you know, what we found with Candidate Romaine is his experience in government, his relationships, you know, 40 plus years being around, knowing how to get things done, started as an educator, worked in the clerk's office, has a great idea of you know, how government is funded. than working on the legislature and working on global issues, you know, not just for his district, but for all of Suffolk County, then becoming town supervisor, turning around a town that wasn't necessarily heading in the right direction and putting them on a very solid footing. Very, you know, like their bond rating is great now. They have no fiscal stress in terms of the audit done by Tom DiNapoli's office, the comptroller of the state of New York. So really turning things around, doing good things, caring about the environment, caring about water quality, working with businesses, but also understanding what it means to be a public employee and that the public employee gets all this, all of the things that government's trying to do is actually done by frontline government employees. These were all important issues for us, and it's ultimately why we made the decision we made to get behind Ed Romaine, because we figured this is the person that can actually, you know, turn this ship around the most.
You know, I was fortunate to go to the forum that AIM held where both candidates for county exec were there, and the issues that were brought up, again, we talk about just a broad range of issues, and Ed really brings a wealth of knowledge into the race. He, like you said, he was a town, Brookhaven, supervisor of Brookhaven and all. But the key is that he knows the legislature. These are tough times. 12 years.
Yeah.
It's been 12 years. So the whole administration is going to change. He knows the different parts of that to bring in the people that are going to run that. And what he did in Brookhaven, hopefully he'll do, and I think he will do in the county, and bring experienced people in. I mean, balanced budgets.
Sure.
It's probably one of the biggest things that a county exec has to do with the legislature and working with them.
Yeah.
He knows the people. He's worked with the people. He's worked his way up. And I'm a big advocate of people who, you know, have been in the field, who've worked their way up, and not just someone that comes in and runs for the first time. I believe that someone knows that issues. And I think what happened with AIM is they took the time not only to interview the candidates, whether it's the legislature or county exec, but they put them out in front of the public, so
right.
The public had a chance to see them. And I think that forum was a very important part.
Yeah, it was, you know, and it was important to us also. We didn't want to get into a debate. We wanted a forum. We wanted each candidate alone on stage answering questions, and then the next candidate coming up alone on stage asking, you know, answering the same questions. Because in a debate, you end up hearing more about why you don't like the other person, and that's not helpful to make a decision. You know, candidate A really dislikes candidate B more than you know, that doesn't help you make a decision.
Yeah.
When you're talking about providing government services, there is, to some extent, some fights that have to happen, some standing of your ground. But most of actually getting government done is consensus building, having conversations with people, getting the issues heard, understood, and finding areas of compromise and bringing people in on your issue.
Yeah, I think the important part of the forum, other than a debate, each candidate got up there, is when you have a debate, sometimes even if someone's asking them a question, especially it's a setup with a moderator,
right.
They just come up with their answer and they don't answer the question. They come up with what they want to say
right.
On a totally different issue.
Yeah,
doing it to the public, when someone asks you a question from an audience, you really have to answer the question. You know, you don't come with a set rule on... Instead
right.
of talking subject A, you're talking subject D.
Right.
So
right.
I think that forum was important. I think people should understand when endorsements are made by groups,
right.
It's made because of the time spent with that person, knowing their knowledge of the issues and how they stress the importance.
Sure. You know, and listen, let's be honest, behind the scenes, there was a little strategy there for us also. It's not a question of whether or not their answers were good when we interviewed them behind closed doors with our committee, right? That's one particular thing. Now they're answering on the record publicly, and they're telegraphing this to the world. This is what I'm about. This is where I stand on this issue. This is what I will do. And we heard a lot of important priorities. You know, both candidates had important priorities, but public comments were made, understanding that the hiring practices in Suffolk County need to change. You need to have enough people. You can't charge people the same rate in taxes and cut their services because you don't have enough employees to get the work done.
No, you lose people.
Yeah,
you lose residents in the neighborhoods. You got to. I think Ed really stressed the importance of county workers, municipal workers, that he believes in it and wants to build a workforce up
right.
at the same time so they can provide the services. What a balanced budget.
Yeah.
He was very reasonable, speaking not he was going to give the store away, but he wanted to provide the services that are needed.
Yeah, so he spoke a lot about honest budgeting, And you know, the understanding, frustration I've had in years past was, you know, when you don't have enough people, then you're relying on overtime to get the job done. You're burning out employees, good people that don't have enough time to spend time with their family and you know, de-stress from their work life. And the costing still, it doesn't save you anything because now you're paying a higher rate.
It might cost you more
in
the long run.
Right. And you say, so every year I would say, listen, I love this budget. Thank you so much for putting all this stuff together. Look at all your overtime costs. Those overtime costs could be new people, and then you would have less overtime, and therefore you could actually save money on this. There were departments that generate revenue. By doing their job, they actually make money more than they spend on payroll and everything else. And you know, materials and equipment and everything, they brought more money in than it costs to run them. You should never be understaffed in something that's profitable in that way, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's about providing an honest budget that has the right staffing levels. And, you know, again, committing publicly in that forum, you know, that was a very encouraging sign to us. Somebody that understood the issue and knew how to solve it.
Well, you brought up a good point when you got certain agencies that are bringing money in to the county that you don't want them understaffed. That's the importance of having someone who's had experience in the legislation, knowing which of those agencies are bringing in money. So I think that's so important for someone running for county exec to know. You know, we're short 10% in this agency, but this agency brings 40% more in revenue in. And that's where we're going to, you know, tell his people out there, you know, that he's hiring, this is where I want to do. And I think a game plan, I think Ed has that game plan. And I think whether you want to say flushed it out, but you got it out from the candidates and even your local legislators, where they stand on the issues that affect the middle-class families of Suffolk County.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I mean, that's the heart of why we do all of this. And we do it in the particular way that we do because we know we're going to make these endorsements public. And we're making these endorsements public because we came from the perspective of how does this impact working people? You know, union, non-union, public sector, private sector, all of that is irrelevant. It is about the working lives of people and how their time away from work is impacted by what government does as well, because that affects how well they perform at work, is, you know.
Yeah, almost every Suffolk County employee is also a Suffolk County resident in the neighborhood. So I'm sure they're worried about their wages and their health care, but they're also worried about their schools. They're worried about their community, their safety. When they go home from work, when they're home on the weekends, their parks and everything, you know. So I think it's important that the way the whole structure was set up, it was a broad view of where the candidates stand on the issues, and it wasn't a sole union endorsement.
Yeah, and listen, you know, this is going to work in partnership with the legislature, right? The legislature functioning correctly under a county executive is going to deliver the best impact, and that's why finding the right candidates for the legislature was very important.
And they're all up, right?
All 18 seats are up. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to run through some names just so, you know, our listeners know in this whole process where we ended up landing. And you've heard from us why we landed there, but, you know, it's, now you can know some names and you can think about this on voting day, you know, how much the impact on your working life influences your vote. And then, you know, maybe we'll get into some specifics on these candidates as well. But in the first district, Catherine Kent. In the second district, Ann Welker. In the third district, Jim Mazzarella, great union guy. Fourth district, Nick Caracappa, another great union guy. Fifth district, Steve Englebright, Stony Brook professor, very, very knowledgeable on all things environmental and very effective up in the assembly. Now coming back to Suffolk County, so we're looking forward to that. Sixth district, Chad Lennon. Seventh district, Ryan McGarry. Very, very well-educated, very effective, long-standing union guy and also administrative guy. And
very committed to the community.
Absolutely.
Public service.
You know, and again, you know, sandwiching all that in with being a volunteer firefighter and you know, not one that doesn't show up, one that does show up. You know, when the alarms go off, he's, you know, he drops what he's doing. And you know, middle of the night, whatever it is, you know, he's there. In the 8th District, Anthony Piccirillo. In the 9th District, Sam Gonzalez. In the 10th District, Trish Bergen. In the 11th district, Steve Flodderen. In the 12th district, Leslie Kennedy. In the 14th district, Kevin McCaffrey. In the 15th district, Jason Richburg. In the 16th district, Manny Esteban. In the 17th district, Tom Donnelly. And again, I'll just pause right there. You know, Tom is somebody that we've had tons of conversations trying to understand the issues, you know, getting out there and understanding what's going on department by department and where the big fixes need to happen. And someone, again, who's not afraid to put that forward publicly. A few weeks ago, he had an article, Newsday had given him an endorsement, and they listed why they gave him the endorsement. And it was because of his commanding understanding of the needs of government employees to provide the services that the residents rely on. So someone that just really gets it and is really, you know, he's fighting those issues. And in the 18th district, we have Stephanie Bontempi.
No, I think you got a broad range of candidates. It's great how you read them off and we went through them. And the good part was there was no party affiliation.
Right.
There was no party. These were people who were picked because you thought and your membership thought that these would be, in the political action committee thought these would be the best people for the community.
Right.
There's no R or D or I independent on them. These are the people that decided would be best to serve the residents of Suffolk County.
Yeah, we don't really like to do our endorsements based on a particular party because, some folks do approach it as, how can we, shift as many votes as possible out of these 18 potential spots? How can we shift as many as possible to one particular party or another? But we need to work with individuals and we need to work with consensus building. We need to work with folks that, time is precious, right? So to be able to sit down with somebody and have a 15-minute conversation, have them understand it versus having to sit down for 2 hours and explain what labor is about, why it's important that people are treated fairly at work, that they feel safe, that is a reasonable expectation to feel safe at work, that eats up additional time. So these are folks that we found that understood the issues, and some of them, have areas of focus, those projects they really want to work on. Again, I mentioned Steve Englebright, and I firmly expect him to be, deeply entrenched in water quality issues, something else we'll talk about in a few moments. But at the end of the day, we needed candidates based on their ability to get the job done, based on their ability to understand the issues and support the initiatives necessary to make Suffolk County great.
Yeah, and as I said, I think the process went well. A Democratic Assembly member for 36 years, coming in to this and coming on the radio show and talking and meeting people, it's a breath of fresh air to see. And even though it's a labor union, a labor organization, sometimes you have to do what's good for the people of your community. Right. And I think that was done well. So those who might be listening in or not union members or part of it, or something, to know that this process was done the way government should be done.
Right.
Taking care of the people or endorsing the people that will do the best job for the county.
Yeah, and I think we've seen this so much in recent years. It is about partisanship. It is about pushing things apart and whatever. And it's incumbent on groups like ours. So I guess maybe trying to lead by example here, if we don't take the nonsense out of the races, then it has the potential, to me, to just keep devolving more and more and more. And then we're not going to be talking about issues. We're going to be talking about why we don't like the other person. And that's not a good reason to vote for somebody.
That doesn't help anyone.
Yeah. So it's important to us to kind of move the needle towards what's going to get the job done, what's going to get the residents of Suffolk County and the workers who provide for the residents of Suffolk County the most. I had mentioned a few minutes ago that we were going to get into some of the water quality issues, but that was a big issue that was brought up earlier this year and something that still needs to be addressed. And there are commitments by these candidates to get back involved in, so we'll get through Election Day and we'll figure out how to get on the ballot.
I think one of your endorsed candidates, the presiding officer, has made commitments already, correct?
Kevin McCaffrey certainly has, and everybody on the list that we had mentioned has an understanding of the issue and knows, you know, if they were a yes vote, they knew why they were a yes vote. If they were a no vote on why it originally failed, they already have plans on how to get to yes. Because I think everybody understands, you know, and you know, part of our process as well, I guess I didn't mention, you know, we do a lot of polling. We want to see what people think about various issues. And water quality came back in every district, came back. If it was on the ballot, if it was on the ballot in 2 days, it would have passed. People really care about this. They really understand that, you know, we're a sole source aquifer. Anything that's coming coming out of our houses, our businesses, or whatever else has got to be treated properly and back into the ground safely. We don't want to deal with these issues that we've heard about in other areas where, you know, you have this contamination. Like when I say sole source aquifer, you know, we've just got the one, and we have to protect that one thing. And people understood that. So the question isn't whether or not we need to do this. It's just how do we get there? How do we fund it? And, you know,
like, no, it's important to get that referendum done, get the home rule message, which has to be done all over again now with the state.
Right.
So to get that going and to get candidates into office who are going to make sure that that home rule gets up to Albany early next year.
Yeah, because this is now an uphill battle. We had a home rule that was effective this year, which will expire, and now you've got to get a new one. And you've got to get a new one now, you know, just talking politics, in a year where state elected officials are up. And that may change whether or not they want to say yes based on what's going on in their districts and their own electability. They've got to factor all of those different things in and get the job done.
Yeah, it's so important, especially, you know, like you said, in the polling you have done, that it's an issue that people are concerned about. So the way to show your concern is to actually come out and vote.
Right.
If you come out and vote and show your concern and let people know that you're one of the reasons you were coming out was because of the water quality issue, so the candidates know that. If you run into them, you know, whether it's the 2 days before the election, on election day, or after that, let them know that that was the reason that we have a big turnout. And again, you talk about turnout. That's so important.
Yeah, I would say, you know, there are a number of reasons, in my estimation, that people should be motivated to get out and vote. You know, county executive is a big position that's going to have an impact on everybody's life. The major decisions that happen in county government, things that get implemented, you know, they call the administration. They administer the government. They send out to everybody, okay, here's your marching orders. This is what we need to do. This is when we need it done. The whole nine. It's very important.
Local races are more important, like people talk about, you know, president, governor, and everything, but the local races are where the work is done, to get out there. And I try to stress to people, we'll pick out here, and you know, how many people come out in a district also matters.
Right.
You know, like you'll take the East End districts 1, 2 or something, you know, you'll go out there and look at that and see 3,000 people voted.
Right.
But then you might go to another area, Suffolk County, and 6,000 people voted, right? What area do you think? It might not be the fairest way, but what area do you think is going to get the services, the new buses, the new the streets repaved? So it's so important to try to bring your district vote up so you have more say when the politicians look. And they do look. Oh, 6,000 votes to 3,000 votes. Yeah. We got so much money to spend. What area are we going to spend it in?
Yeah.
And so listen, come out and vote.
So having those numbers in place determines how engaged people are.
Yeah.
And how engaged people are helps the elected officials understand where their priority areas are.
Yeah.
So, you know, even if you think you know the outcome or you say, oh, well, my vote doesn't count or what, you know, you're doing something for your neighbors, your friends, your family, everybody in that surrounding area just by going out and casting your vote.
That's you know, I've seen that on the state level and even on the local level. How come they get everything?
Right.
How come that town gets it? Because they vote.
Yes.
You know, it might not be the best way, as I said, but that's the real world.
But that, yeah, I mean, that's a metric that you can understand. As somebody that's elected to office, you say, okay, here's an area of my town that nobody votes in, one way or the other. It's not like they voted against me or they voted for me. Yeah. Nobody got engaged at all. And then I have this other area that I hear from all the time, and they come out and they vote. And so these people are engaged. So that's where the real issues are. The area where nobody cares, you have to assume that everything's fine. Nobody's complaining. Nobody's praising. It's just, you know, hey, everything's fine. So it's really important. And I think the young vote really matters as well, because as you become voting age and you're able to get out there and get your vote heard, it's that same thing. Do we take this younger generation seriously, or do we only care about the people 65 and older because they are more politically engaged and therefore those are the issues that really matter? So in any age band that you might be in, whether it's one that votes a lot or one that rarely votes, you know, if you have the ability to vote, you should exercise that ability, because that will determine policies, you know, locally, and it will work its way up. The state will start looking at those numbers a little differently. Yeah. The federal government will look at those numbers differently. And I think younger voters get that. I think they understand that they can interject their voice into this process and be seen.
Yeah, I think that's an issue we've been struggling with for the last couple of years, getting the young people out to vote. I mean, that will set the pattern for whether it's the county, the city, or the state, how they vote. I mean, especially those youngsters who are still in college, who have the right to vote and all, you know, and they complain about the tuition at the school or the professors. You're right on the ground level. You've just gone through a system that has a lot to do with politics, where the money is gone. So it's important. And you're the young people going to be looking for the jobs.
Right.
Buying the home in the neighborhood, paying the taxes in the future. So it's important that you get out there to vote. I mean, don't leave it to your parents and grandparents.
Right.
Because the bills that are passed today are going to affect you a few years down the road.
Yeah, and I think, you know, young people that I've spoken to and feedback that I've seen in various communities, they have a sense of worry that they won't be able to afford a home, no matter how hard they work, no matter how well they educate themselves, that they will not face retirement one day, that they will just always have to work. And those are very real issues. Those are very important things that need to be solved, and government needs to have a response. But for government to realize that these are things that are going to impact the way this country runs, the way this county runs, the way a particular town runs, the whole nine, you need the votes. Because those votes, I think, are the metric, like you said, though, that's the metric that elected officials look at to understand where are the issues that, you know, I can hear about it anecdotally, but this block of 6,000 people in an area that traditionally doesn't vote, and now 6,000 people voted, my attention is focused there. What's going on? There's something that needs to be addressed, and I need to address it.
Sure, and then the idea, like, whether it's the 3,000 or the 6,000, right, to come out and vote, it's not necessarily your local legislator, but your local legislator might be going there fighting for you,
right?
But when you got 17 other legislators in districts,
right,
seeing that those districts produce more votes,
right?
So I didn't want to make it sound like it was their representative wasn't doing it. He or she is fighting to get money for that district,
right,
against 17 other members, and they'll get up and say, well, your district only had 3,000 voters. My district had 6,000 voters. So that's why it's so, and that's, I'm not just saying it. That's how it happens.
Yes.
That's exactly how it happens in legislatures. So, just to get out to vote. I'm not telling you who to, you know, just the numbers up there mean so much.
It really does. And, it, you know, again, like you said, it matters on the state level. It matters on the local level. And it trickles up to the federal level. And no matter, you know, whatever your key issue is, you know, so, you know, we kind of age banding here and saying, you know, we would like to see the younger people get out and have their voices heard so their issues are addressed. But there are a ton of issues that matter. And if you identify mostly in a particular group, one way or the other, you know, could be anything. It doesn't really matter what the issue is. Your vote not only helps you in your district, but if everybody gets together and realizes they need to vote, it helps everybody with that issue.
If you're old enough to vote, you know, vote. It's really a right, a privilege, and it's your time to tell, you know, as I tell people, the only time you should really be selfish, right, is when it comes to vote.
Yeah.
You should become selfish and vote for the person who you think is going to do the best for you and the best for your family and the best for the community. That's it. Be selfish. I'm voting for this person because this is the person who's going to do good for me and my family, do good for my community. So, you know, people say selfish is no good. In elections, it's good.
It's very important. It actually very much is.
Yeah.
And, you know, to that end, you know, we talked about our endorsement process and all that went into it. What we found, selfishly, the best for working people, again, union, non-union, private sector, government sector, doesn't matter. We came up with a list of folks that we think best understand how to have the best impact on people's working life and how to have the best impact when they're off hours so that it doesn't impact their working life. And that, you know, for county executive, that's town supervisor Ed Romaine. In the first district, Catherine Kent. Second district, Ann Welker. Third district, Jim Mazzarella. Fourth district, Nick Caracappa. Fifth district, Steve Englebright. Sixth district, Chad Lennon. Seventh district, Ryan McGarry. Eighth district, Anthony Piccirillo. Ninth district, Sam Gonzalez. 10th district, Trish Bergen. 11th district, Steve Flodderin. 12th district, Leslie Kennedy. 14th district, Kevin McCaffrey. 15th district, Jason Richburg. 16th district, Manny Esteban. 17th district, Tom Donnelly. And 18th district, Stephanie Bontempi. And just again, County Executive Ed Romaine, you know, really just a positive way to move all of this forward in conjunction with all those legislators. So, Peter, we're out of time for today. I know we can continue going for at least another half hour, but I really appreciate you carving out the time, coming out to speak to us. Always appreciate your expertise and your perspective on these issues.
Hope to be out soon after the election. And again, to everyone, get out and vote. It's so important. Thank you.
Absolutely, absolutely. 2 days away. To our listeners, enjoy Election Day, get it done, and we'll speak to you next time.